As a self-regulatory organization, FINRA is in a unique position to be able to interact with its members and benefit from their expertise to enrich FINRA's regulatory programs and develop solutions that are perhaps more practical, tailored, and effective. FINRA's Office of Member Relations and Education is tasked with maintaining that open dialogue with member firms. On this episode of FINRA Unscripted, Chip Jones joins us to tell us more. Welcome to FINRA Unscripted. From Washington, D.C., I'm your host, Caitlin Kiernan. I'm joined today by Chip Jones, FINRA's Senior Vice President of Member Relations and Education. Chip, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
If you've ever been to a FINRA conference or member roundtable, Chip's voice will probably sound familiar to you. As the head of Member Relations and Education, Chip is responsible for maintaining and enhancing an open dialogue with FINRA's members. Chip and his team do this in a number of ways, and I think that's a good place to start. Chip, what all does your team do as Member Relations and Education?
Well, Caitlin, you've hit on it already. I mean, we maintain an open dialogue with the member firms. We're in a unique position as a self-regulatory organization where we can go out, talk to the member firms, and get input from them, bring it back, and talk about it internally, and then try to make regulation smarter.
So it seems like a big theme when it comes to some of the various responsibilities of your group revolve around this engagement with firms. So what are some of the ways that your team, member relations, and education engage with firms?
A lot of the engagement occurs in our committee structure. We have quite a few committees within the organization where we sit down with members of the industry, get their feedback on different things, whether it be rule proposals that we may be putting out for comment, or they may be issues that the industry themselves want to raise with us and bring questions forward. So we do it through those committees. We have different committees that we work with. We have standing committees, which are established by our board. We have advisory committees, and we have 15 of those, and those are sort of topic-focused advisory committees. We have 5 regional committees that are made up of geographic regions around the country. And then we also have ad hoc committees that are topic-based. And so we receive feedback from those groups. We also have other meetings, whether they be conferences or roundtable meetings, where we also receive feedback from industry members.
Can you give a couple examples of the types of topics that those committees look at?
So I talked a little bit about the 4 standing committees that we have. Those 4 standing committees are a large firm committee, which is just that. It's made up of large firms. Then we have a small firm advisory committee that consists of small firms. And then we have the firms that are in the middle. We call that the membership committee. And that consists of independent contractor firms, insurance broker dealers, mid-size firms. They make up the membership committee. And then we have a investor committee that also provides feedback. They provide feedback on all rule proposals that are going to the FINRA board. So they have the opportunity to sit down and talk to us. We present to them what the rule proposal might look like, and then they have the opportunity to provide us feedback on that before it goes out for comment to make sure that the large firm committee is looking at it from their perspective, and then the small firm committee is looking at it from the small firm perspective. How is this going to impact small firms? So we have those standing committees. We also have advisory committees like a market reg committee, a fixed income committee, where we have proposals that may impact that specific group. We'll go to them and talk to them about questions.
Sounds like a great way to get some valuable feedback. How big are these committees generally, and how would you join one?
That's a great question, Caitlin. So the committee sizes vary. They're anywhere from, say, 10 to 15 to 16, 20 people, something like that. But when individuals ask me, how can I get involved in FINRA and what's the best way to start, I often encourage them to join a regional committee. That's sort of the stepping stone to move on to one of our more specialized or standing committees. It gives us an opportunity to get to know the individual, but it also gives the individual an opportunity to interact with FINRA, find out how the organization works, and how they can provide feedback into the process.
Is that something they can express interest on our website, or how would they do so?
We do have a portal. It's called Get Involved on FINRA.org. You can go there and express interest, if you will, in a particular committee. And then every fall, we have an election for the regional committees. We also have an election for certain board seats, and then also for the NAC and for the Small Firm Advisory Committee. Also, there are elections for the regional committee. So individuals can go there and fill out a form, and it's easy, at least for the regional committees. It's self-nomination, and there's not much involved. So they are geographic based. So you have to run for a regional committee where your firm is headquartered. So that's key. But that's generally where individuals get started in our committee process.
Great. We'll link to that in our show notes. So you were also mentioning member meetings and roundtables. What are these events usually like? How are they structured?
This is just another way that we reach out to try and receive feedback from the firms. Robert Cook and I, Robert is, of course, our president and CEO. He and I travel around the country, and we have an opportunity to sit down with small groups of firms. And they're generally small firms when we sit down and we have a discussion with them. And they range in size from 10 to 18 individuals sitting around a table, really just having a conversation with Robert and I about whatever's on their minds. And so it gives Robert and I the opportunity to sort of think about what they're saying and then bring that information back here to DC and have discussions with senior management within the organization to see if there are changes that we should consider, once again, to make regulation smarter.
So it's an opportunity both for them to hear what you and Robert have to say and learn what FINRA's priorities are, but also a chance for you to take away their feedback as well.
Exactly. Now, that's the roundtable meeting. We do have other meetings where it's much more about FINRA providing information to the attendees and the member firms. We have different conferences and events, as well as regional forums where individuals come, and we have folks from our district offices and our regional offices provide presentations. And most always, we have individuals from firms participate in those conferences as well to provide examples of how regulation is impacting their firm and maybe give some tips to others in the audience about how they're complying with rules and regulations.
Sounds interesting. So before we wrap up the conversation on these committees and roundtables, can you give us an idea of some of the feedback you hear most often when you go to these events?
It's interesting. It ranges. I mean, it sort of depends on if we have a particular proposal that is out at any given time, then we may hear a lot about that particular proposal. There's a wide range of topics that we hear about, whether there are things that we, FINRA, can actually impact and influence change, or it could be a particular rule set that the group may not be particularly happy with at that current time.
So the name of your group is Member Relations and Education. So I wanted to flip over to the education portion of that. What is FINRA's goal in providing educational resources for firms?
Really, Caitlin, it's to keep the industry informed about regulatory rules, developments, and FINRA priorities to make sure that the industry is up to speed and that we are providing them with all the information that we can in order for them to comply with the rules and regulations. It really gets down to FINRA's primary goal, which is investor protection. And we feel like that if we can help educate the industry on the rules and regulations, that in fact will support investor protection.
Makes sense. So what are some of the educational opportunities and resources available to firms?
So we have a number of those. We have conferences, we have half-day boot camps, half-day seminars, and then we also have the FINRA Institute at Georgetown for our Certified Regulatory and Compliance Professional, CRCP, designation. So for the conferences, this year we're going to have 6 conferences. Some of them are topic-specific. For instance, in January, we had a RegTech conference. Later this year, we're going to have a senior investor conference. And then we always have our flagship event here in DC in May, which is our annual conference, and that's a 2.5-day event. Later in the year, we do a small firm conference out on the West Coast because we realize that there is expense involved in firms traveling to DC to participate in our annual conference. So we try and do every year a conference specifically for small firms out on the West Coast. We also provide the opportunity to participate in the conferences via video if someone is interested in that for our annual conference. Half-day boot camps. These are topic specific, and they are presented by individuals from our district offices along with individuals who work for firms generally within their region or their district. And these are topic specific. They're low cost for anyone to attend. And this year we're going to do 10 boot camps. So half-day seminars. This year we're doing 4 AML seminars and 3 cybersecurity seminars. So once again, those half-day seminars are topic specific and they drill down into those two areas, at least for this year. So AML and cybersecurity. And as I mentioned earlier, we have these regional member forums that are free to attend. This is something that we started last year to provide an opportunity for firms to come in and learn not only from FINRA staff, but also from their peers in the industry within their region. And then we do one of those each year in each of the 5 regions, and then we move it around within the region. So this year, we're going to be in Denver out west. Last year, we were in LA. So we're going to move those around every year. And then, as I said, we have the CRCP, FINRA Institute at Georgetown, which is a 2-week course where you can, at the end of the 2-week course, obtain the CRCP designation.
Yeah, and we just did a podcast on that program as well. So listeners, if they haven't seen that one yet, can check that out. We'll also include links in our show notes to where you can find the schedule for these conferences and boot camps and seminars so that if you are listening and you want to attend, you can check that out. And then, do we offer any education and online training in addition to some of these in-person events?
Well, I have to tell you, one of the best things that we offer is this right here, which you created, which I think is fantastic. And I think we get a lot of folks who actually take the opportunity to listen to these podcasts. In addition to that, some individuals may have seen me do a few minutes with FINRA. These are usually topic focused, and we try to do them on something that's current that people are really interested in. So there's no real cadence to the few minutes. It's just sort of when we have a topic that we think makes sense and that folks would be interested in. So they're short videos that you can go to FINRA.org and see, and also gives you an opportunity to see some of the other FINRA executives speak on a particular topic. Something new that we started last year is called a small firm report. And this is a free call that we offer generally on a quarterly basis. Once again, there's no set cadence to those particular calls. We like them to try to be topical and of interest at that point in time. But these are free calls that we generally have in the neighborhood of between 500 and 800 firms represented on the calls, listening to FINRA executives talk about a particular topic that happens to be of interest at that point in time. We also have e-learning that is available on FINRA.org as well. And while I'm thinking about it, FINRA.org itself is just a fantastic resource for any firm that's looking for information on a particular regulation that they may be concerned about.
So FINRA, in addition to all this educational material, also has a lot of free compliance tools and resources available to firms. We won't go into all of them because it is a lot, but maybe we can look at some newer resources. For example, I know there's the peer-to-peer compliance library coming up. Can you go into what that is real quick and why we created it?
Sure. So at FINRA, one of the things that we do in order to try and help firms is we create templates and checklists for firms to use. For instance, last year we created a cybersecurity checklist, which firms have found to be very helpful. The other information that we had are templates and checklists that have been used at FINRA conferences. in the past. And so these were created by people in the industry. So at a particular firm, they said, oh, I really need a checklist on AML. And so they created their own checklist with respect to AML. So we've taken all of these templates and checklists that are basically displayed at the FINRA conferences or given out at the conferences as handouts in order for the attendees to take away. And we've put them into this peer-to-peer compliance library for individuals to go onto the website and take a look at in hopes that there might be something there that they find of use.
And where did the idea come from for the peer-to-peer library?
It came up through our committees. I mean, a lot of times we receive ideas from the committees that we talked about earlier that we go back and we implement. And peer-to-peer was one of those. Someone asked the question about what do you do with the information that's distributed at these conferences? There was some really good information there. Is there something that you can do with it? So that's where we came up with that.
Highlighting the value of those committees.
Exactly.
So another newer item is the Compliance Vendor Directory. It was deployed in 2017, and it's had some updates recently. Can you highlight a few of those?
Sure. The Compliance Vendor Directory lists in different categories vendors that can help firms comply with a specific rule set. So we have anything in there from PCAOB auditors to vendors that can help you with email archiving. And there's 9 categories of vendors that are within the Compliance Vendor Directory. And this is just another way that we wanted to try and centralize information to help firms comply with the rules and regulations. One of the things that you asked, we made some updates last year. So we put sort of a compare feature similar to something that you would see on other websites where you can compare certain vendors to see what their offerings contain. So that's one of the enhancements that we put in last year.
Sounds helpful. Also, a couple years ago, FINRA introduced the compliance calendar. Can you expand upon the types of events firms can find on their compliance calendar and how they can use that?
So there's all kinds of things that you can find on the compliance calendar. And last year, we tailored that to specific firms. So if you go in to the compliance calendar, then you will see the events that are specific to your firm. And they can be anything from deadlines on blue sheets, your annual audit filing, focus filings, any of those type things that are specific to your firm. Also in there, we have deadlines on rules that are out for comment, and we give you the comment deadline, as well as FINRA events. So our conferences are listed there as well. So it's tailored to your specific firm.
So those sound like some great tools. Is there anything else coming up that you'd like to highlight?
Sure. We have coming out later this year, we're going to have a preferred pricing program. And this is going to be specifically in the area of email archiving. And what we're doing here is we have a number of vendors who will have agreed to provide discount pricing for broker-dealer firms. And they have varying levels of service, but you'll be able to go in there, look at the offerings that are available and the pricing that's available to see if there's something in there that you might be interested in. So this is something that we're really excited for. As I said, we're starting out in the email archiving area. We may expand that in the future, but that's going to be coming out first quarter of this year. Also in member relations and education, we run our report center, which is a great resource, and it generates reports to help firms detect compliance problems early. For instance, we just put out a new MSRB report card on markups and markdown analysis to help firms in that particular area. And we're always looking for new ideas. If you have ideas for other report cards, we're always interested in hearing those, and you can send those to memberrelations@finra.org.
Yeah, we heard a little bit about those report cards in an earlier episode with Tom Gira as well. So we'll link to that for anyone who wants to hear more.
Great.
So today we talked about a lot of different things your group does to engage with FINRA member firms. If listeners were to walk away remembering just one thing, what would you hope it would be?
We're here to help. I mean, we understand that securities regulation is not simple. It's not easy. but we are here to help. We try to come up with educational offerings and tools to help the firms better understand the securities regulatory world. So we're here to help. And if you have ideas for things that we haven't thought about, conferences that we should do, a few minute segment that we should do, a podcast that you should do, I mean, we're always open to ideas from the member firms, and we're happy to listen and see if there are things that we can do.
Well, that's it for today. Chip, thanks for joining us. From Washington, D.C., I'm your host, Caitlin Kiernan. If you have any questions for future guests or ideas for future episodes, you can let us know. You can email us at finraunscripted@finra.org. Until next time.
Please note, FINRA podcasts are the sole property of FINRA, and the information provided is for informational and educational purposes only. The content of the podcast does not constitute any FINRA rule or amendment or interpretation of such rules. Compliance with any recommended conduct presented does not mean that a firm or person has complied with the full extent of their obligations under FINRA rules, the rules of any other SRO, or securities laws. This podcast is provided as is. FINRA and its affiliates are not responsible for any human or mechanical errors or omissions. Parties may not reproduce these podcasts in any form or reference them in any publication without the express written consent of FINRA.